Alcohol use is widespread in our society, but its impacts on mental health are often overlooked. From anxiety and depression to medication interactions, understanding this relationship is crucial for overall well-being. Here to discuss this important topic is Dr. Mohammed Aves Aftab, a psychiatrist at Southwest General Health Center. He'll explore how alcohol affects mental health in both the short and long term and provide practical guidance for maintaining a healthy relationship with alcohol. This is Southwest General Health Talk, the podcast from the specialists at Southwest General Health Center. I'm Jamie Lewis. Dr. Aftab, thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Jamie.
So many people enjoy alcohol socially without thinking about its mental health effects. I know that I have done that for sure. Could you explain how alcohol impacts our brain chemistry and our mood, both immediately and over the long term?
Yes. So alcohol has both short-term and long-term effects. Usually when someone, you know, has an alcoholic beverage or consumes alcohol in some form, in the short term, there are several changes in brain neurotransmitter systems. So one, there are increases in GABA neurotransmission, and this is the neurotransmitter that is involved in sedation and calming effect. And there are also increases in the dopamine system, which is involved in pleasure and a sense of reward. And this accounts for the fact that people feel relaxed, people feel somewhat disinhibited, and they enjoy the pleasant effects of alcohol. But at the same time, alcohol is also affecting other neurotransmitter systems as well. One of them is glutamate, and it suppresses that activity, and that results in several undesirable side effects, like memory gets fuzzy, there's difficulty with remembering things, coordination and gait gets affected, speech gets affected. And the higher the amount of alcohol is consumed, the more negative effects we see with regards to the effects on memory, on thinking, on speech, on gait. And after alcohol kind of use has peaked and its concentration rises in the blood and the person feels better, then there's a process of rebound where the alcohol is broken down by the body. And then people often feel a sense of irritability, or there can be a sense of tiredness, fatigue, things like that. And for people who are consuming large amounts of alcohol, that rebound can be destabilizing and can have negative effects. In general, if alcohol is consumed infrequently and in moderate amounts, it poses little risk and people can manage. But if it is being consumed very frequently and in heavy amounts, then this cycle of changes in these neurotransmitters and then kind of blood alcohol level coming down and people experiencing rebound, all of that can lead to the brain getting adapted to the presence of alcohol in a negative way. And it increases mental health risk and increases the risk of a variety of physical problems.
Well, I mean, I know you say during the holidays or on 4th of July or something, people talk about feeling stressed out and they want to have a drink to relax. I mean, it's in movies, it's in, you know, TV, all of that. I'm wondering how effective that approach really is from a psychiatric standpoint, and what concerns should people be aware of when they're using alcohol to self-medicate?
That's an excellent question. In general, it's from a medical point of view, it's difficult to say that any amount of alcohol is completely safe. Even small amounts of alcohol present some degree of risk, both in terms of mental health risks as well as physical health risks. Such as the amount of alcohol we consume is linked to increased risk of cancer, as well as mental health difficulties. If we want to be entirely safe, the best option is to not consume alcohol at all. But oftentimes, reasonable use of alcohol offers enough advantages to people. They feel temporarily relaxed. It offers kind of advantages in social setting that they're willing to put up with small amounts of risk. So if alcohol is being used infrequently here and there, especially in social settings, and its use is not getting out of hand, the risks for most people are manageable in those kind of situations. So although it's not something that is medically recommended or any medical professional recommends, but if someone desires it, then the risks are acceptable for a lot of people.
Well, we know that the rates of people who are on medication for depression and anxiety go up. So if the number of people who are drinking socially, casually stays the same, we know that more people are drinking while they're on some kind of medication. I want to know, what are the potential risks for combining these kinds of things with alcohol?
There are certain risks to keep in mind. The biggest one is that there are psychiatric medications that have sedating effects. And then alcohol has sedating effects too. And if they're used in combination, then people can feel excessively drowsy. People can feel excessively lethargic. They might get impaired to a point where it might not be safe for them to drive. That is something that has to be kept in mind. And so there's certain types of antidepressants are more sedating, many mood stabilizing and antipsychotic medications are more sedating. So caution is warranted in that case. Also, frequent use of alcohol typically interferes with the effects of medication. So if someone is on an antidepressant medication or anti-anxiety medication and they're consuming alcohol frequently, then they're probably not getting as much benefit out of the medication as they could be, because the alcohol is interfering with the clinical effects of the medication. In the elderly, combining psychiatric medication and alcohol use can also increase the risk of memory problems, can increase the risk of developing dementia, can increase the risk of falls. So in the elderly, these concerns become even more serious. And with certain kinds of medications, there are more specific concerns. So a mood stabilizing medication commonly used in psychiatry is lithium. And if people are regularly consuming alcohol, they are at higher risk of dehydration. And that dehydration can put people at higher risk of lithium toxicity. That is something to keep in mind as well. The general recommendation, again, is to minimize alcohol use as much as possible, the safest thing being not using alcohol. I tell most patients that if they use alcohol judiciously, you know, a few times a month in reasonable amounts, that poses little interference with their psychiatric medications in most cases. But it starts becoming a problem if they're drinking most days in a week or they're drinking large amounts. That is where the interaction with medications becomes more concerning.
Let's talk kind of chicken and the egg here. I know there's research that suggests links between regular alcohol consumption and conditions like depression and anxiety. Could you discuss what we know about those connections? Does one beget the other, or what information do we have at this point?
Yes. So alcohol and mental health problems like depression and anxiety have what we call a bi-directional relationship. People who have depression and anxiety issues, they are predisposed to alcohol use problems. And people who have alcohol use problems, they are predisposed to experiencing more depression and anxiety issues. And the effect is pretty large as well. People who have alcohol use problems, they are 2 to 3 times higher risk of developing depression and anxiety disorders compared to someone who is not drinking. So the effects are substantial and they go both ways. In some cases, when people struggle with overwhelming depressive emotions, anxiety, nervousness, they sometimes use alcohol to self-medicate, and they try to use alcohol as a tool of blunting down their emotions, when in fact, a better strategy might be to use psychiatric medications in a prescribed manner or undergo psychotherapy to manage the difficult emotions. And when people have developed a kind of alcohol addiction or an alcohol use disorder, the effects of alcohol on the brain over the long term are pretty negative. As the brain gets used to those surges of GABA and dopamine that alcohol produces, it slowly adapts. And the brain's own ability to produce dopamine, for example, or make use of the dopamine system goes down. And this leads to a state of kind of anhedonia, where a person can have difficulty experiencing positive emotions and they can have a sense of low mood and purposelessness. So the chronic effects, the long-term effects of alcohol predispose a person to experiencing depression, anxiety.
Okay. Well, speaking of that, what are some warning signs that people can look for when alcohol use is maybe negatively affecting their mental health? What are some of the, we'll just call them symptoms of that being a problem?
Yeah, so a couple of different things that people can watch out for. One is that if they're noticing that as their alcohol use goes on, they're noticing increased irritability, they're noticing increased anxiety, they're noticing worsening depression or low mood, and it's getting to a point where they have to take alcohol to feel like their normal selves again. That's a pretty good sign that things have gotten out of hand and some kind of a clinical problem with alcohol use is happening. If there's increasing alcohol use over time, so as kind of days and weeks go by, the person finds themselves drinking alcohol in more and more quantities, drinking alcohol more and more frequently, if they're needing alcohol to handle their stress, if they're needing alcohol to go to sleep, if they're needing alcohol to socialize because otherwise the anxiety is too unbearable, those are additional signs that something is going on. When people develop problematic patterns of alcohol use, they often start having memory issues, or they can have blackouts, or they can have difficulty concentrating and making decisions, and their work performance starts to suffer, and their family relationship starts to suffer. And if they go by periods of not consuming alcohol, they can experience withdrawal symptoms. And these withdrawal symptoms can at times be quite significant. So those are all signs that an alcohol use problem or an alcohol addiction is brewing, and the person needs help to manage their alcohol use.
The word moderation comes up a lot, right, with all things. But with alcohol especially, I think people wonder about what is the place of moderation in consuming alcohol. Are there general guidelines that you know of for alcohol consumption that support good mental health, that are actually beneficial, and how do those vary for different individuals?
Yeah, so there are general guidelines available regarding moderate or safe drinking, and these have been issued by the CDC and by the National Institute of Alcohol Use and Addiction. The general recommendation for low-risk drinking is that for women, it is on average one drink per day, or less than 7 drinks in a week. Versus for men, it is 2 drinks per day on average, or less than 14 drinks in a week. And for people who have a binge stripe pattern of drinking, the recommendation is to avoid having more than 4 drinks in one sitting, and for men, avoid having more than 5 drinks in one sitting. So these are for the general population, for people who are otherwise healthy, who don't have a lot of physical health problems or mental health problems. When people have history of psychiatric disorders, they need to be extra cautious, and safe levels for them are going to be substantially lower. So people who have been diagnosed with depression, anxiety, psychotic disorders, people who are on psychiatric medications, people who have family history of alcoholism, the safest thing, again, is to abstain completely from alcohol. But if that is not a possibility, then infrequent use, kind of like, you know, a few times in a month, ideally in social settings, is generally okay. But it's going to be lower than what is safe for the general population.
I'm sure as you're talking right now, there are people who are listening who maybe they think of somebody that they're concerned about. I mean, this is so widespread, right? And or maybe they're thinking of themselves. For somebody like that, what are the resources that are available at Southwest General to help them?
The best starting point is probably talking to one's primary care physician, because primary care physicians are trained to screen for and assess these initial difficulties. Then they can provide additional details about safe drinking, moderate drinking, and refer people to resources. For people who already have developed an alcohol use problem, and let's say they're experiencing active withdrawal, then emergency room is the best setting if someone is in an active state of withdrawal. If they require the help of a psychiatrist in treating an alcohol addiction that has been developed, then we have psychiatric services available where they can meet with a psychiatric provider and consider different medications that can help with that. And we have counselors available as well who specialize in addiction services. And the most important thing, we have a substance use intensive outpatient program, which is designed for people who are struggling with alcohol use problems as well as other substance use problems. And this is an intensive 3 days a week program in which people come in the morning, they stay till the early afternoon, and they receive kind of group therapy, they receive psychoeducation, they receive a lot of resources and a structured environment and structured support to help them get on the path of recovery.
Fantastic. I'm glad to know that's there for them. Thank you, Dr. Aftab, for all of your expertise and experience.
Thank you for having me.
That was Dr. Mohammed Aves Aftab, psychiatrist at Southwest General Health Center. To schedule an appointment or to learn more about behavioral health services, visit swgeneral.com. And thank you for listening to Southwest General Health Talk, the podcast from the specialists at Southwest General Health Center.